Beginning at verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul speaks of our day. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Now, Paul is speaking to you and I about a time of where humankind seems to be captivated by the inner corruption of the fallen nature of humanity without any victory or guidance of the Holy Spirit, without God's presence in His Holy Spirit. This is what humanity devolves into. We're living in an age when civil discourse seems to be gone. Railing, reviling seems to be the order of the day. Lovers of self have preeminence in our society. It seems that people are being led constantly by their own inner lusts and not any longer by the knowledge or the word of God. And in the midst of all of this, there is a religion that this fallen condition in society has embraced that lends some power to it, may I put it that way. It's a religion that really shares the same value system as the fallen world around it. Just as in the days of Moses, there were two that represented this religious system. In Moses' day, the people were captivated by a darkened kingdom, were using the people of God of that time for their own objectives and their own gain. They were telling them what they could do, how they could do it, when they could do it, how far they can do it, how much and how little they could do it. It seemed like godlessness was in complete control of the society, including the people of God in this moment. But God sent a delivering word to His own people. He heard the cry. And you know the story, He went to Moses and said, I've heard the cry of my people, and I've sent you down to deliver them. And here's the deliverance. I want you to call them out of the place where they are into a place they've not gone before, and there they're going to worship me. I want you to call them to leave what's become familiar, leave their captivity, leave everything that has brought them into such hopelessness and for so many years. And they're going to follow my voice, and they're going to go into a place where it seems like nothing is there for them. But there, they're going to find everything they've ever longed for, in this place where they're called apart to worship me. Now, Moses came to Egypt at that time with the word from God, let my people go. Wherever God hears that cry, He sends His word. And for those listening online tonight that are addicted and afflicted, you feel suicidal, you feel hopeless, there's a word from God coming to you to set you free. It's God Himself that commands that you be released from the grip of darkness that is destroying your mind, your life, your future, your home, your family. You don't have to live like this any longer. You can get up and you can leave tonight. You can leave now. You don't have to live like this. You do not have to bow down under the weight of darkness in all of its forms. Christ died for you to give you life. And He's calling you into life. And you say to me tonight, well, I've tried some forms of religion. But there is a form of religion that Paul warned about that has no power. It's always learning, but it's never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It doesn't bring you into the freedom that Christ died to give you. And it has people that purport to represent God in the midst of it, but they are only interested in using you for their own glory and for their own gain. That's the whole reason why they're involved. They want political power. They want access to courts. They want accolades. That's why they're involved in this, and they offer you nothing but an illusion. They offer you no freedom. Now, when Moses came, they were able to duplicate some of the signs and the wonders of God. You remember when Aaron cast down his rod and it turned into a serpent, it says these magicians that Paul identifies as these two men, Jannes and Jambres, also cast down their staffs, and they also turned into serpents. In other words, they can counterfeit the miracles of God, counterfeit the power of God, the ability of God to do the supernatural. They were able to follow along on a parallel trajectory with that which really was representing God to only a point. Then God sent Moses and Aaron to turn the rivers into blood, and they could counterfeit water turning into blood. In other words, they could talk about the blood. They can counterfeit the miracles. They can talk about the blood. They can claim the same redemption as the people of God have, the scriptural redemption. And then it went to a third time when the Lord told Aaron and Moses to call up out of the river, to call up frogs upon the land. And it represents, frogs always in the scripture represent demonic powers. And so they can claim miracles, they can claim the blood, they can claim to have authority over demonic powers. And these fraudsters are walking side by side with true messengers of God up to this point. And Paul said, but their foolishness, their folly will be made known before all men. In the last days, these days of 2 Timothy chapter 3, the folly of this religion will be made known just as it was in the days when Moses and Aaron came into Egypt. So what was it that exposed the folly of false religion? It was a false religion, purported to have the power of God, claimed to have access to the blood, may I say, it's a type of today, claimed to have authority over demonic powers. But what was it that exposed their folly? It was the fourth sign when God told Moses and Aaron to bring life out of the dust. Only God can bring life out of the dust. You see, Adam was created out of the dust of the earth. You and I are created out of the dust of the earth. And only God can give us back life. Only God can call forth life out of the dust. Only God can do this. Religionists can baffle with their supposed miraculous power. They can talk about the blood. They can claim to have power over demonic forces. But only God can bring life out of the dust. And that's where the division starts to happen. That's where people start escaping powerless religion. When finally you realize that it is the voice of God that is calling you out of your place of hopelessness into the life that Christ has provided for you. And if you have the courage to hear this tonight, you can live. You don't have to die, you can live. You don't have to die in sin. You can live in the newness of life that God has provided for you through the redemption of Jesus Christ, his genuine power over the demonic that would destroy you, and his Holy Spirit that will come into your life and give you that life that he has promised you. I thank God for that. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God that we are born again out of the dust and brought back to life again. We are born again into this wonderful life that God promises to us, not just for eternity, but also through time. We are given the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. We are given the power by the Spirit of God to escape prisons that have held us and would hold us without the power of God. We are given a new mind. We are given a new heart. The Bible says we are given a new spirit. We are given a new future. We are given a new journey. We are given a new family. We are given a new song. We are called out of the hopelessness of death and into a marvelous life that only God can provide. That's the difference between Christ and religion. Religion learns, but there's no power in it. Religion promises and doesn't deliver. But those who turn to God, those who turn to God, though they be dead, yet shall they live. We are praying for people tonight that without a touch of heaven have no hope. We're going to stand in the power of God. We're going to stand, we're going to believe God. Because we're not here just to cry into space and walk away saying, wasn't that nice? Not seeing any results of our prayer. No, I expect to see our prayer answered. Listen to some of the requests that we're praying for this evening. From Arizona, Lisa asked for prayer. My son Michael overdosed. My cousin died suddenly this week. My son's friend hung himself. And my other son overdosed and is still alive. Jesus, save. This is a cry from this lady called Sherry. And we're going to believe God with all of our heart for that son that's still alive. We're going to believe for the situation of hopelessness and despair that wants to swallow this home in death. From Brooklyn, please pray for us not to give up on hoping and trusting for a baby. 6 years of marriage, 8 years together in 3 failed pregnancies. We're discouraged. For those in Brooklyn that are praying, God gives life. He is the author. He is the finisher of life. And we're going to believe God. We're going to pray for you that out of your situation is going to come life tonight. Jen in Australia says, I've been praying for my husband to accept Jesus for 28 years. Please stand in the gap for me. We're going to stand with you, Jen, tonight in Australia. We're going to believe God for your husband. Because we serve the God who brings the dead back to life again. We believe that with all of our heart. From Sweden, please pray for my health. I'm getting weaker, weaker, and weaker. I can see absolutely no light in my tunnel and no positive change. From Ohio, Gracie, 14, has destroyed her pancreas and liver through severe anorexia. She's in the hospital. The doctor said she has 5 personalities. Please pray for her salvation. We're going to stand with you for your daughter. We're going to believe that the devil is defeated. We're going to believe that Christ brings life out of death. From Anderson, Indiana, pray for my husband will be delivered from addictions to crack cocaine and alcohol. Please pray that he would find a permanent job as soon as possible. And from New York City, please pray for Dora, who's been pronounced brain dead from a blood hemorrhage. The doctor wants to take her off of life support. I believe that we serve a God who brings life from the dead. I believe that with all my heart. And we're going to stand tonight. We're going to pray and we're going to believe God for the miraculous tonight. I thank God that we've come to this place in history. It's a do or die moment for this nation. Do you know that? It's a do or die moment. But we're going to do. We're not going to die. We're going to stand up. We're going to fight. We're going to believe God for the miraculous so that His name will be glorified one more time in our society and in this day in which we live. I am going to stand and believe God. I am not willing to take no for an answer. There are promises in Scripture that belong to me, promises that belong to you. Our sons, our daughters, our families, the things that we ask for, God, Christ says we shall receive. He tells us to have faith in God. Whatever you say to this mountain, if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, it will be done. But we're not here to pray for ourselves. We're here to pray for others, and we're here to believe that God is going to answer our prayer tonight.